In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and I'm joined today with a very, very special guest, Asya. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So for those not watching, we are in Asya's yoga studio, which you just opened up 2 months ago, right?
Yes.
In Midtown Manhattan on West 35th Street. It's a beautiful space. I took my first yoga class with you yesterday on Saturday. Yes. I absolutely loved it. And yeah, we figured we would record the episode today in her studio space. It's so exciting, and also, you know, to celebrate you and your opening.
Thank you. I really appreciate to have me. It's my first podcast, actually.
Yay! Oh, that's so exciting. I'm honored to be your first. So with all my guests, I love to start with this sort of reoccurring topic I call Rosebud Thorn, where you talk about a rose, which is something positive happening in your life, bud, something you're looking forward to, and thorn, something that's maybe a little bit more challenging or negative in your life right now, just to sort of get more comfortable and get to know each other a little bit more.
Mm-hmm, sure. And my rose right now, it is growing my community to have each class for me, it's new experience, and I'm still looking for building community to meet new people, new students, and it's really make me happy. For my bud, it's I excited more to have more events and gatherings, like to have more besides the yoga, actually, like also have something like to meet people in Midtown. That's why it was like I on purpose did on Midtown. It's nice to have all bars like can come here. And my thorn, it's pronounced thorn.
Thorn, yeah.
Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
It's hardest part now for me to balancing all together, teaching, managing, entrepreneurship, paperwork, like all together.
Yeah.
And I think this is my third month, and I just now find something like way to organize.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you're doing a lot. And on top of that, you're a wife, right? And a
yes.
friend to so many people. And so, yeah, you're doing a lot. But it's, you know, give yourself time. And it's great that you're starting to find ways to balance those things. I assume it felt very chaotic for the first couple months.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, mine.
What's yours?
What are mine? My rose, honestly, it's interesting you said that for your rose. I was thinking the exact same thing, just building community and making more connections. I mean, Asya and I only met earlier in April, so yeah. We've only known each other a month. And I feel like even just in the month of April, I met you and I met so many other people through that event, actually, that we met at. And it's just been wonderful to meet up with people, get to know them one-on-one and in groups, and just feel my community sort of growing and meeting people I feel like I wouldn't have met otherwise, which is really, really cool. My bud, I am traveling. I mean, this is very far ahead, but I'm traveling in June, and I'll be out of the city for June and July in Paris and London. So I'm very excited about that. That's something I'm looking forward to, and kind of like mentally and physically prepping throughout the month of May to, I'm getting a sublet, so I have to like pack up my apartment, which I'm not necessarily excited about, but it's part of the process.
Yeah.
And then my thorn, I've just been very indecisive recently. I think I've been struggling with like feeling grounded in my decisions and kind of feeling confident in them. Something I'm always working on, but recently this week, I feel like that's been something a bit more challenging for me, just sort of like feeling like I'm flip-flopping between a few things or not feeling like I have 2 feet solid in a decision. But I know it ebbs and flows, and there are definitely some moments where I feel so secure in decisions. I don't know, is that something you've dealt with before?
Yes, just say yes to everything. Yes, really, it's really helpful. Just don't think a lot, just yes.
Just yes?
Yes.
What do you do if like you then realize that yes is like one too many things?
It's really work out really well. I know how it works, but like just I like to get any opportunities. You don't know where like final destination. And even like it was so funny how I get best like my client, corporate client. I just said to yes, small project and teach like in some building in Manhattan. And through like management of that building, I get much bigger company offer for corporate yoga. Mm-hmm. I just say yes one time and it's changed my life and my connections actually too.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I remember that's what we were talking about the first day you met, mm-hmm. First day we met, just saying yes to that first thing and not necessarily knowing how it's going to pan out. And that's scary. And it's a reason that a lot of people might say no, including myself, maybe. But
at least you tried. Like, this is what I always say in my life. It's better to do something and you will feel that I did it, I tried, mm-hmm. than you say no, and after you think, I should, like, how it should be, like...
How would it have been?
Happened, yes, yeah. If I said yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And that's something I'm definitely trying to implement more. It's really important to take the attempt as something to be proud of. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the end goal. That's something, like, I'm constantly sort of reminding myself. Yeah. What was your journey in, like, learning that? Or sort of embodying that? Was there a time where you were so focused on end goals and now you've shifted your mindsets? Or how was that for you?
And you think about that.
Sorry, we're derailing from my original questions.
I have changed a lot my like personality. Now I became more grounded. But before I was so, you know, this kind of person, like looking for some journey. Like always say yes. It was some... I don't know, it wasn't a lot of responsibilities. Like, I had the experience, like, say yes to a project in Istanbul, and I moved to Istanbul for a job, and I stayed there for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's always... And that episode of my life, it was best. Like, always... Nothing happened, like, nothing was, like a huge goal, but I just was thinking where it will take me. If I will, will agree, like, will shift forward with this.
Were always thinking like this is a next step in my journey, and not worrying about where it will take you in your journey.
Yes. But a lot of things I knew, like you say, goals, I knew like I want to work on myself. I will be entrepreneur. Like this is, I knew it. This was my goal, but long-term goal.
Right.
But I did before, of course, 9 to 5.
Yeah. So you've had that. To live the two sort of working styles of working for someone else 9 to 5 and now you're full working for yourself.
Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, PIPOD, for 15% off today.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
So my next question for you is just to tell us a little bit more about yourself. I mean, you just mentioned, we just talked through sort of, you lived in Istanbul for a little bit, but if you want to give a little more on your background and what got you into yoga and I don't know, how you ended up in New York City.
So My name is Asya, and it's originally a Turkish-Azerbaijani name. My parents are from Azerbaijan, and I was born and raised in Moscow, and I graduated economics, and I was working for 5 years in construction company, Turkish construction company, actually based in Moscow, and then Turkish is my second language, and English my fourth language.
Wow, so love that.
And then I get offer to move to Istanbul when I say yes. And I met my best friend actually in Istanbul. We was colleagues and roommates, and we're still talking now. She lives in Germany.
Oh, love that.
In that moment, when I was working 9 to 5, I understand I will have my own business.
You just knew?
I always knew it. And really, I'm so grateful for that experience. I know how to build buildings.
Right.
And I know about really well about budgeting, like about that all, like project management and all that stuff. After office, I always was running to yoga. Mm. So I was doing yoga for 5 years before I take my teacher training. So a few years ago, I moved to New York. And I did my teacher training here.
Oh, cool. Actually, so you were just a student before?
Yes,
you were just taking classes?
For 5 years.
Right.
Here, when I moved to New York, I didn't know a lot of people. So it really, yoga helped me a lot to build new friendships, to meet people, community. And I took all around New York to see like which neighborhood, like, and all that stuff. And I ended up in Yoga Maya in Chelsea. And I did my teacher training there. I remember they was asking, in first days, I was asking why you, like every month, they was asking for everyone, why you taking teacher training. Mm-hmm. And I said that time, I say, I want to open my own studio.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, wow, this girl's so ambitious. And I'm like, okay, like, but I really want, like, I really want. Once you want, everybody will, everything in your life will turn around that. Back to my life, I was dancer until 16 years old.
Yes.
And after I switched to swimming, I was volunteering for a long time. I donate my blood maybe more than 10 times.
Oh, wow.
So outside of yoga, I like to read books, and I really recommend, like, my best book. It's Orhan Pamuk. It's a Turkish writer. He got first Turkish writer Nobel Award.
Oh, wow.
And he teaching in Colombia, actually.
No. Oh, cool. He's in the city as well?
Yes.
Wow. So what's his book?
Here about his book, it's The Museum of Innocence.
Cool. I haven't heard of that one, but I'll definitely check it out.
I highly recommend that one.
I also want to ask you what style of dance you did. I grew up dancing as well, so I'm curious. I did ballet and point mostly. But...
Yeah, I did ballet, but I did without point.
Mm, okay.
Just, I couldn't stand. I have from childhood, I have gone.
Oh, this. The bunion?
Yes, this.
Like the big, the big bone on the, yeah, yes. Those are painful, especially in point shoes. Yeah. So it was lovely to hear that you started as a student and then kind of was so inspired and fell in love with the practice of yoga to then become a teacher. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more about your process of becoming a yoga teacher, going through that training process, and maybe some steps that you took along the way that really helped you in sort of building your career to being a yoga teacher now.
Because of English is not my first language, I took a course 10 months long.
In so English?
In English. And so it was so interesting. It was like every 2 weeks, we had 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, for like hours, like 10 hours, like or 8 hours.
Wow.
So during the 3 weeks of between class, I sit and translate everything and came back to homework again in English. So, but it was so interesting. My English improved, and all information, of course, I teach only in English. I can't teach in my languages. I don't know even like how you get in that information. So yeah, I took 10 months long teacher training, and immediately from second month, I start to teach.
Oh, wow.
My own friends, family here, community, neighbors, free classes, anything. I start rent space for hours. And this helped me a lot because, and like, once I finish my teacher training, it's helped me to really was, I was really like ready to teach.
Right. So then by the time you finished the whole training, you just felt that much more confident in going out and teaching classes on your own.
Yes.
That's great. Is that something they really recommend you do? Or was that something you just sort of, your ambitious self, you're like, I'm just going to go teach classes?
Oh, they really recommend you to do that. Okay. Like not like promote like and charge money, but like you can start to start to practice. If you will waiting some perfect time, it will happen. Once you will like, you will promise yourself, okay, when it will finish like teacher training, when I will done with that, I will start to teach. By that time, it will different. Practice. And like on 10th time, it will different than you started.
Yeah, definitely.
And people will see you different, I think. This is also important. Like,
as a more like qualified overall teacher, or what do you mean see you different?
I mean, students, like you can tell this teacher was practicing before or doing something before like start to work.
Right.
Once you starting like your first class, you will understand like, wow, a lot of students, you put them in same asana, but it's completely different shapes. Like, so you need adjust around, like it depends on your class, like it's all levels, beginners. So yeah, and I was renting the spaces. I was teaching in Central Park during the summers. Also community classes for free. It's how I built my community, actually started to build for 2 years before the studio.
Wow, that's amazing. So if you had any advice as well to give to anyone else wanting to become a yoga teacher, what would you tell them?
Just start, do it.
Don't
just
wait.
Don't wait at all. Like nothing. Like no one's waiting. You. It's never will happen that perfect time, perfect day. This week you tried to teach on Monday evening. Doesn't work. People come. Okay. Just try on Tuesday. Just try on Wednesday. Find your day. Find your time of day. Because I, like it's my third year of teaching. And I find out that my best energy when I teach from 6 a.m. my first class until like 1 p.m. And I like more power, I like more vinyasa, heart, a lot of chaturangas, like, and I like this kind of practice. So I find out my way. So a lot of teachers like teach evenings time, yin yoga, restorative,
right?
It all depends. So you will find your style, how you like to teach, which kind of students.
Yeah, right. But you just kind of have to try it all.
You have
and
to
then you
try,
find
yeah,
what
I try
works.
Even 8 p.m. classes. I try 6 a.m. classes. I try everything. And yeah, after 3 years, I understand what's my schedule. Finally.
Right. I bet. Was it, did it take the full 3 years? Or do
yes,
you, when did,
it is
yeah?
three years.
Wow. That's great. I just had a thought came up about if you offer classes and no one shows up. Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, it happened a lot.
Really?
It's happened a lot and it will happen with all new beginners. You need to come to this, you have to come to a place where you was renting or giving the time and just lay down. Just lay down on the, I was laid down on this floor. I was crying, but I was like, you need to be present in that room and say, no, one day it will fall. Like, but you need to give that space, that attention, that no, it will fall one day. I came and I respect, like, you need show and people will come. Like, really, it was, it's happened a lot with me.
Right.
And I pay rent, no one came, cancel last minute, oh, rain, train. Yeah, it's always like this. We say that after rain, it's always a rainbow. It seems like you need to go through this rain.
Right, right. You need to go through the challenge and time.
And then you will know if you really want to work in the yoga business or not.
True.
Because it's most hardest business. It's not like ice cream. It's not like coffee shop. It's not you selling people their time. It's like they coming to practice their own body.
Right.
Like it's so hard to explain to people why they need to yoga.
Right.
Most important, even not like why they do yoga, it's to respect their time. They present, they come, they choose you. Please do best so they will come again. Like be always on time, start on time your class. Yes, and people will, like students will feel that energy. Like students, come, like it's transparent relationship. I think like student can feel even like teacher doing this for some part-time job, like some gigs, or it's really like passion about like teacher.
Right,
They of course they will feel that.
Right. I love that, and like the students will really be able to feel and sense the energy of the teacher.
Of course,
so how you show
energy.
Up is directly affecting how they feel throughout the class.
Yeah. And you like most important also, you need to show confidence that everything will, like they save, the space save, everything good.
Mm-hmm.
So they will do inversions like headstands or like shoulders really well. Like you will supportive, then it will help them to do that asanas.
Right, right. Yeah. I know for me, I love when a teacher makes a point of saying like, there's no wrong positions
of
here
course.
Or there's no wrong questions or, you know, any shape that you make with your body, like nothing's wrong, everything's safe, everything's welcomed. And I know for me, like that just makes me that much more inclined to try new things and push myself a little bit in new, like you said, inversions and different positions and flows and things like that. So yeah, I love that. And I also love what you said too about kind of the business side and how it's so difficult to market yourself as a yoga teacher, because it's not like there's a lot of similarities, I guess, between just like kind of basic, like selling your services or other service-based businesses, but the other person has to be invested in themselves enough to come. You can't make them want to do it. And so it's kind of like, you just have to, I guess, from what you're saying, you just have to find it in yourself and how you can connect with your students to make them believe and want to spend time with you and spend time with themselves as well. So I don't know, I kind of love that whole element to it, because it's not like you're marketing yourself in the way that kind of other companies might. It's like yoga's like, no, you come because you want to and you want to be there.
Exactly. And it's like not YouTube yoga class, you know, like you always can stop it. Like,
right.
No, it's like it's life. Like it's in community with new people, in new room. And it's like, yes, it was, I never thought about that actually. Like for me, it was so regular to go to places to meet people. Maybe I want to like meet new friends, and like I make a lot of friends actually when I was gathering about like to look how's yoga studios working and all that stuff. Yes, I think it's most important. I never like, I don't want to say never, but I don't like to push that button when it's like, yeah, some about marketing. Ah, your spine will in pain if you want practice like 5 minutes yoga
right.
that morning.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that. Like, you can't force anybody to do anything, like to drink coffee or matcha or like to yoga. You just need to show yourself your like business, your energy, and people would like to spend time with you to know about like your practice. It will really great class. They will explain their friends and say, wow, it really was nice class. Go check out that place.
Right, right. And that's the best way to sort of build your community, get new clients, new students at your studio.
Yes.
I love that. Yeah, that's really good advice. So moving on to opening your yoga studio, which we said recently opened 2 to 3 months ago. Could you talk more about the journey to opening the studio, and was there anything sort of that you learned in the process, maybe mentally, physically, learned about yourself or more about the industry? Yeah, and like what was that process like for you?
But during my teacher training, I learned that you can rent the space by hours. That was on my side always, that wow, when it's like I will start the schedule, like brand new teachers can help it with that. It's always like helped me a lot, like which I always would say, like if you're thinking to open studio, don't think you can earn only through classes. Like you can always rent your space by hours. But starting with looking the space and how I decide. Imagine in New York City looking apartment.
That's difficult.
And that 5 times harder.
Oh my gosh.
5 times. Because it's a lot of rules and laws in New York City. Before even you looking, you need to build your business, LLC, business account, history. So that group classes, my schedulings, everything helped me a lot. So I did my teacher training, and after that, like 1.5 years, I was teaching here and there. I was trying to new neighborhoods. Like I teach in Lower East Side, Upper East Side. I rent around the city. And I had the base of like my client list, email list, schedules, website, and once like I find some landlords, I was always showing like, this is my business. This is not like I just created yesterday, just woke up right. and like it this is like what legit. I'm trying to do, yeah. but I won't do this consistently. So I can't anymore afford like 1 hour here, 1 hour there, because it's much different price. Yes, so with space, it took me 8 months and maybe 5 or 7 brokers to figure out who is like helpful. So yes, it took me 8 months to decide with this place, and I started alone without partners, which also was more stressful.
I bet, yeah.
Yes, but I'm glad I did like this way. It's really small. It feels 12 students and one instructor in one class. I have great instructors. What I would like to share, that space, website, booking system, business accounts,
mm-hmm.
data of clients. You need all collect that to right. open.
So this is just a lot of little things to think about. Yeah. Things. Did you learn the process and then kind of embark into it, or did you kind of learn as you went along,
of
would
course,
you say?
Yes, in our like perfect time. So I just learned everything like 2 weeks before I opened. I finalized like schedule system, and I did a lot of mistakes, of course.
But you
website I did on my own on Squarespace.
Nice.
Yeah, ordered props through. You can always like always suggest if you have your studio or you're trying to open, you can always contact to brands and ask them about discount, because like it's called like studio gear. If you mention you're opening studios, they give you like discount for
oh,
that.
Nice.
It's really nice. Like, or
did you get that
customize.
On the mats and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did custom mats. Yeah, it's
different. Yeah, but the mats are cute. That's really good advice. I mean, if anyone ever has other questions to Asya about mm-hmm. opening their own studio, yoga teacher training, we'll put your Instagram in the description below and website and all of those things as well. But my next question, I wanted to just learn more a little bit about you and your lifestyle and your habits. So is there a habit or a part of your routine that has helped you kind of remain grounded and connected to yourself? I know these last 3 years have been so busy for you with teacher training and opening studio, finding spaces, but is there something that has kind of carried you through those
yes.
busier times that helps you?
Yes, helped me a lot. It's washing my hairs. Mm-hmm. It's really some ritual for me when I have a bad day or something happen. I go to wash my hairs. It's really helpful.
Really? What is it about washing your hair that
yes,
you
Yes, one
love?
Of my friends actually long, like 10 years ago, she mentioned, even like if you have bad conversation or something, just go to restroom, just make your hands wet and just go through your hairs. Hairs keep a lot of energy, so once you're doing that, it's like go out from you. Yeah, it's helped me a lot. I'm still doing that. Related to habits, I like spend my time alone, to be honest, which I miss now.
Right.
Like, I really don't have time now alone, but hopefully now I'm getting back to my routine. I like to walk around the reservoir in Upper East Side.
Beautiful, yeah.
Amazing. Yes, it's just with your thoughts. I don't listen a lot to music, actually, only during classes.
Okay.
It's so interesting. I know how I end up here. Before, I was always listening to music, like in subway, but now I'm just...
Does it feel kind of overstimulating, or what do you think caused the... Or you, because you maybe have a lack of alone time now, like your walks are your alone
yes,
time without
yes,
music, maybe?
Yes, without, I just want to hear my thoughts and like right. ideas. So I have a few places in New York City, which I really like. It was my first places when I came, like I call them power places. I went there. I'm going there when I have this kind of mood. I need some recharging. I'm actually Bryant Park.
Oh, cool.
It's so touristy, but at the same time,
oh,
it's
I love it.
Secret.
Yeah.
Second, it's my favorite coffee shop, Integral.
Okay,
can
cute.
Hear about
I've heard
that?
Of that. I haven't been, but yeah,
amazing
I've heard of it.
Amazing place.
Nice. It,
but that, in that place, I wrote in my diary that I will open yoga studio.
Oh my gosh. So it's a key part of your whole story.
Yes,
I love
yes,
that.
It's so funny. Yes, I have a few this kind of places where I'm going around the city, and morning, just do my own coffee myself. Of course, I check in emails, but I won't just sit and look in one like ceiling or something, just be alone. This, mm-hmm. I don't know, this is my ritual. Just, it's so hard to get time, just 10, 15 minutes here yourself without any TikTok, reel,
Yeah, yeah.
Text message.
Email.
Like, I don't watch television, like, 10 years. More than 10 years, 15 really? Years. I write down all thoughts, like, what I need to do even.
Right.
Like, everything I need to write down. It's a lot of going on during the day, like, subs, some teacher can't come, like, everything.
Do you write it down physically type it in a calendar? Yeah. Do you have a digital calendar as well, or is it, like, all in a planner?
Only hand.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
Only hand, and I like it. Because when I want to look through that, it's so helpful when you have notebook, you can just flip the page.
Mm-hmm.
But when in your telephone, it's never, like, I don't want to open the notes. I don't know why.
Right. Yeah.
It's helped me a lot to read.
You know, it's nicer to have that journal and that physical notebook, because then you're not tempted to maybe do other things on your phone. I know that happens to me sometimes. I'll open the notes app and then open my calendar, mm-hmm. and then, like, suddenly I'm scrolling on Instagram. Yes, and I'm like, how did I get here?
Yeah. And every month or, like, season, I write down everything what I did.
I do that too. Like a monthly recap or review.
Yeah, something like that. Like, I teach 100 classes, for example. Like, something like I did, like this kind of amount of privates. Mm-hmm. Like, something which you did and you happy with that. But right. I write big, or when I get really good offers.
Well, yeah, I love that. Because then that's also just, like, a physical sort of milestone. Yeah, to track your growth and see, like, oh, end of last month I was here, but now look mm-hmm. where I am now. Or maybe this month was harder and you didn't do as much. Mm-hmm. That's evidence to show, okay,
yes, even like
maybe I need to adjust.
I'm doing this, sorry.
Yeah, you're good, you're good.
It's inspired me to say that. Now I'm doing with studio as well. I'm saying, like, this amount of students came this time. This mm-hmm. is classes, how many classes we teach this month.
Right.
Or something. And so funny, it was a few weeks ago, actually, my friend from one yoga studio, she asked me, how's it to build your own studio? And I say, do you remember this Sims game, computer game?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Sims and Monopoly together.
Sims and Monopoly together. I love that.
It feels exactly that.
Why does it feel like that?
I feel like it's when I start make the reports every month. I said, wow, it's really exactly like Sims, because now I'm like deciding which teacher mm-hmm. will teach like twice per class.
Right. Like, but then it's also like Monopoly because of the whole money business side.
Revenue, look, you need to pay, everything has deadline, everything.
Right. I love that. That's so fun. Well, thank you so much, Asya, for coming onto the podcast. I have absolutely loved chatting with you today, and it was great to hear just about your process, and to anyone listening who's interested as well in becoming a yoga teacher and opening their own studio, you know. I just feel like I love chatting with women like you and entrepreneurs, and I could really just feel that energy off of you that you were even talking about in the episode as well, about how yoga teachers just need to kind of embody that energy and their students will feel it. So I feel it 100%.
Thank you so much. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.
It was really a pleasure to talk. Please email or text or DM to us. Like, I can help with like what I did through, I can explain more details.
Yeah.
Like what you're going through when you're opening, like.
Yeah, definitely. So where can people find you? Best places? I mean, you mentioned
like I have a website. Mm-hmm. It's spelled like Asia Yoga NYC. Mm-hmm. And on Instagram, we're asia.yoga.nyc. And our address, 147 West 35th Street, 4082.
Amazing. Well, thank you again much. And we'll catch you all in the next episode.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.